G8 and His Battle Aces, Squadron of Corpses, by Robert Hogan, Chapter 1. Dead Man's Challenge. The powerful hand of Big Bull Martin trembled a little as he held the message. Men came running down the tarmac of Le Bourget Field. It was dusk. The sound of a roaring German Mercedes motor faded in the distance to the north. And the Fokker that had dropped that unbelievable message vanished into the darkening shadows. The streamer, with its weight at the bottom of the V to carry it down and the pocket for the note, had landed squarely in front of the end hangar, where G8 and His Battle Aces made their headquarters. Bull had been first to reach it. He was staring now at the message, straining to read it again in the dim light. His mouth was open, as though he had gasped in horror, but no sound came. G8 and Nippy, dashing out of the apartment door, reached him before the other pilots. "What's up?" G8 demanded. Bull didn't seem to hear him at first. In the dim light of the evening, G8 could see the pale color that had flashed over the face of the big football star. "What's up?" he repeated a little louder. His hand reached out for the message, snatched it from Bull. The lips of the big fellow moved then. He spoke a mere exclamation of awe, "Holy herring." G8's eyes narrowed. The light was very dim. He held the message close, trying to make it out. "Well, I'll be." Nippy was trying to read the message from the side. G8 heard the pounding feet of the running pilots, and shook his head. "They mustn't know," he said. "Let's go inside." Turning, he led the way back toward the door. A young Englishman, the first of the pilots to reach them, called out, "I say, what's it all about?" G8 whirled. The reassuring smile that he forced on his face came hard. "Just a personal matter," he said. "These heinies will never get over the idea of challenging us to a friendly little brawl before breakfast." He turned quickly and passed through the door. Nippy followed. Then came Bull. He closed the door behind them, closed it absently, like a man in a trance. Under the lamp on the library table, G8 spread the message that the German plane had dropped. Nippy glanced at it. "Phew." He whistled. "Is that so, Meppy? And I've been thinking about suing these heinies for stealing my magic stuff. But I never tried to pull anything like this." Then, as though to make sure their eyes were not deceiving them, the three stared down at the message once more. They read, "Tomorrow at dawn von Grail will fly again. He has been brought back to life. All other German aces who have been killed will be brought back to live again in the air, by the aid of a new white magic. We send you this warning to advise you of the futility of going on in your hopeless efforts to defeat us. We demand instant surrender. Otherwise, black magic will be brought to work upon you. Got mittens?" G8 heard an explosive laugh beside him. That was Nippy. He was pointing at his big pal, Bull Martin. "Boy," Nippy chuckled, "you'd make a good ad for sheets and pillowcases. Your face is as white as—" "Shut up, shrimp," Bull cut in. "You'd laugh on the other side of your face if you knew more about a thing like this." G8 looked up slowly and stared at Bull. "Knew more about it?" he repeated. "What more do you know, Bull?" Bull shifted uneasily. "Well," he confessed, "I don't know any more about this particular message, but it made me think of something. I had a cousin—" "Ha ha ha," laughed Nippy. "You had a cousin like Battle had a grandfather. You two get more alike every day." Just then a voice sounded at the kitchen door. Battle was bowing there. "Did you call, sir?" he asked. "Not so you could notice it," Nippy answered. "I mean, he didn't get the chance to finish. He was jerked half off his feet, hauled with startling abruptness backward. Then he found himself facing an enraged, purple-faced Bull Martin." Bull was shaking him so hard that his teeth fairly rattled. G8 tried to tear away Bull's hold. But the emotion that held Bull Martin in its clutches seemed even greater than intense anger. "You little shrimp," he bellowed. "This is serious, and I don't mean perhaps. Another funny crack from you and I'll shake you loose from your skin what there is of it." Nippy was gasping for breath, trying to break free. "Hey, why you big ox," he cried between shakes. "Hey. Lay off. I was only kidding." Bull flung him backward. Nippy landed in a heap on an overstuffed Davenport. "Yeah?" he rasped. "Well, this is no kidding matter, this white and black magic business. I can tell you that. I'm going to begin again. I'm going to say I had a cousin, and not a peep out of you." "All right," Nippy promised. "But jumping Jupiter, you didn't have to make me feel like a flivver that had just finished an endurance run over a washboard road. Boy, I'll be tightening nuts and bolts for the rest of my life." "All right," G8 nodded. "Let's give Bull a chance to say what he wants to. This sounds serious, Nippy. Go on, Bull." Bull glared once more at Nippy. He cleared his throat huskily, then his tension broke for a moment, and a grin came over his hard, square-jawed face. "I'm sorry, Nippy," he said. "I guess I did go sort of nutty for a minute. But—" he grew serious. "I still maintain that I had a cousin. He was quite a traveler. Older than I was. Among his travels he took in Haiti and spent about a year there. That's the sort of headquarters for this white and black magic, I believe. Voodooism, he called it. Well, my cousin became extremely interested in this black art. So interested that he wrote a book about it when he got back home. He said in his book and he told me, personally, that he had seen what appeared to be human beings raised from the dead. But he declared, of course, it was all a bunch of hokum. The witch doctors could get away with their tricks on the superstitious blacks of Haiti. But no educated white would swallow the stuff. He finished his book by saying that he had recorded there and just what he had seen. And the last paragraph was something like this: of course, it looks very mysterious. I, personally, cannot explain it. But it is naturally impossible. The voodoo doctors are fakes. It is all bunk. Bull took a long breath. I don't see anything so terrible about that, G8 ventured. That's what I was about to say, Nippy grinned. But well, I just didn't have the heart. Just this, Bull said. Within the year, after the book was published, my cousin died. The doctors made a post-mortem examination. He was only sick about 2 days. He just seemed to waste away. They couldn't find what had caused his death. Nothing wrong with him. He had just died. Bull shifted nervously as he finished. The strangest part of the whole thing came 2 months after my cousin's death. It was a letter, written in a hand scarcely legible. It had been mailed from Port-au-Prince, Haiti. There was a picture of a long-faced goat, dripping blood. And the words, "The god of voodoo is avenged." A hush fell over the room. No one seemed to be able to think of anything to say. It was Battle who spoke first. "Begging your pardon, sir, but I don't ever recall ever hearing of a god of voodoo. Perhaps he was one of the old Greek gods. One of the lesser ones, sir." Nippy grinned. "You've heard of hoodoo, haven't you?" "Willer, yes, sir. I've heard you gentlemen speak of hoodoo at times. I believe he is sort of a god of American superstition that brings unfortunate circumstances upon you, isn't he, sir?" "Well," said Nippy, "you want to know what a voodoo is, and you think you know what a hoodoo is? Just figure that a voodoo is a prize first cousin to a hoodoo, like." He shot a tentative glance at Bull and decided not to go on. Battle grinned and bowed. "Yes, sir. A joke, sir. A voodoo first cousin to a hoodoo. Very good, sir. But I must warn you gentlemen. I shan't be taken in easily. It's getting very near to April 1st, you know, sir." G8 nodded grimly. "All right, Battle. We'll remember that. We'll try not to take you in on any jokes, since you're prepared to get fooled. By the way, would you mind closing that door behind you from the other side?" Battle's eyes opened. "But, I say, sir, if I do that, I'll be in the kitchen." G8 smiled a little. "Not so dumb, Battle. I sort of figured that out too." With a hurt expression on his usually blank face, Battle unwillingly disappeared behind the closed door. G8 turned to Nippy and Bull. Bull's face was still a little white. "We've got to get one thing agreed upon before we go any farther," G8 said firmly. "The news that this note brought must not get out. This is obviously a desperate attempt to break down the morale of our men." He stood staring at the floor thoughtfully for a long moment. "Either of you ever see Von Grinnell?" he asked. "I tangled with him once, months ago, before I was put on special assignment." Both Bull and Nippy shook their heads. "We saw his plane a couple of times," Nippy ventured, "while we were with our old squadron. But haven't much of an idea what he looks like." "Nor I," said Bull. "I got one good look at him," G8 said. "As I recall, he was of about medium build and good looking. I don't remember that he had any dueling scars on his cheeks. I couldn't see the color of his hair because of his helmet, but—" He stopped and stared into space, then he nodded. "Yes, I think I would recognize him if I saw him again." Nippy was looking at G8 with a puzzled expression. "Do you mean," he demanded, "you actually think that these Germans have brought Von Grinnell back to life?" "You must be crazy." G8 shook his head. "There isn't any definite record of a person being brought back from death since the New Testament was written. But this," he pointed to the message, "I'm satisfied that it isn't a threat to scare us. The Germans don't drop threatening notes like this, unless they have something to back it up with. They are too wise." Bull looked up quickly. "That book that my cousin wrote had some pretty definite records of bringing dead men back to life," he ventured. "But," objected Nippy, "you said your cousin wrote that although these voodoo specialists had fooled him with their magic, he didn't believe in it." Bull's eyes blazed. "Yes," he admitted, "and maybe you haven't forgotten what happened to my cousin, either. I saw the letter his parents received after he died." G8 was looking thoughtfully at the glowing end of a cigarette. "I was just trying to remember who it was that shot down Von Grinnell, and how long ago. I think it was sometime last month, but I'm not sure." "I know, teacher," Nippy piped, sticking up his hand and then playfully ducking as Bull shot him an ugly glance. "Fellow I knew in training back in the States. Made quite a record for himself, I believe. Tom Randall. Ever heard of him?" G8 nodded. "That's right, I remember now," he said. "Randall, He is attached to the 83rd Pursuit, isn't he? Nippy nodded. G8 frowned thoughtfully. As I recall, he said, Von Grey went down on his own side of the lines, didn't he? And in sight of plenty of men up front. He crashed just behind German lines. Flew a Fokker with a Checker design on it. Went down flaming. That's right, G8 recalled. I remember one old hard-bitten Marines captain who saw him go down. Said it looked like a crusade against the Checker players of an old men's home. G8 was studying the end of a cigarette again. It was almost burned down to the end. I wonder, he said half to himself, if Von Grail could possibly have escaped and is just coming out of a hospital. No one answered. He stepped to the phone and lifted it from the hook. He called the headquarters office of the 83rd Pursuit Squadron and got the second in command on the phone. I would like to talk to Lieutenant Tom Randall, G8 said. There was a moment's hesitation. I'll see if I can connect you with him, came the answer. G8 waited long minutes. Then the voice again. Hello, Randall? G8 called eagerly. He stopped short with a frown. The other voice was answering. No, it said. I'm sorry, but Randall won't be able to speak to you. He is in the hospital. In the hospital? G8 exploded. What's the matter with him?
I don't know, sir. None of the medical staff seem able to fathom it.
A look that was at once puzzled and anxious came over G8's face. I don't understand, he said. Do they think it's serious?
It's hard to tell, came the reply.
The Surgeon Major said if he grew worse as rapidly as he had in the last 3 hours, he couldn't give him much longer to live. G8 gasped. Thanks for the information. He slammed the receiver on the hook and whirled to face Nippy and Bull.
G, Nippy piped.
Why the look of fear in those brave eyes? Maybe you'll think of something serious, G8 countered with a sudden trace of irritation, when I tell you what's going on. Your friend, Tom Randall, seems to be dying in the hospital over at the 83rd. And the doctors haven't the slightest idea of what is wrong with him. Bull's face turned whiter. Holy herring. He exploded. That's just what happened to my cousin.
Yes, G8 said savagely.
I thought of that. There's something mighty queer going on. He reached for the bell on the wall and pressed 4 times hurriedly. Swinging back to Nippy and Bull, he reached for his helmet and goggles on the mantel.
Come in, he said.
We're going over to the 83rd.
Bull hung back.
I said we, G8 snapped. I want you to see this fellow Randall.
But holy herring, Bull countered, I can't do any good there.
I'm no doctor. G8 ignored that and asked another question.
Were you, by any chance, with your cousin when he died?
Why yes, Bull said.
But,
come on then, G8 said.
Let's go.
As they stepped outside, 3 Hissel motors roared, as though to greet them in the night. G8, Nippy and Bull climbed to their cockpits and finished warming their engines.
To be continued.